So, church, without further ado, I'd like to welcome for the first time in 2016 our senior pastor, Pastor Kerry.
Morning, church. How are you all this morning? Oh, someone's been partying a bit too much, have they? How are you this morning? You should be amped. And welcome to the Samble family from Christmas Island. I've been living up there for 8 years. Welcome. Tim's an old mate of mine and Steph. So make sure you welcome them after the service. And, you know, they came around yesterday and they were telling me that three doors down or four doors down, there's a church called God of Hell Church. It's a Hindu church, isn't it? Buddhist church. And these guys are in the thick of it in Christmas Island. There's Muslims and Buddhists and everything else like that. And they're there. They're there, part of the community. And just people are doing amazing things. A lot more other people out here that are doing amazing things as well. But, yeah, welcome, Tim, Steph and the kids. And I hope you enjoy this morning. And if you are visiting here today, this message this morning, what's next, is for you as well. It's not just for this church. It's not just for Hillside. It's not what's next for Hillside Church. It's what's next for the church, I believe. And I shared this with Pastor Margaret Court during the week, and she asked me to, she wanted to pinch all my notes, and she'll probably be speaking on it as well. So the month of January is named after the Roman god, and that's little g, okay, not big G, because we serve the big G. All right, there's a little Roman god called Janus, who was usually depicted as a man with two faces. Okay? One face looked back into the year that passed, and the face that bore traces of sorrow, dismay, and perplexity. Who's looking back at 2015 with sorrow, dismay, and perplexity? Because if you are, you should be looking forward, because the other face looks forward and personified with hope and confidence. And that's what each Christian should have, hope and confidence. Amen? So this time of year, it's easy to find ourselves reflecting on what has passed. And on the TV and radio and internet, we've seen all the different countdowns of the best and the worst of the year. And after the service, you grab a cup of tea, and a coffee or whatever, I'll be presenting to you what a young man presented to me on New Year's Day, and it's all about all these sporting feats, these extreme sporting feats that were held, that were done in 2015, followed by all the news events of the year. It's quite interesting. Now, some of the music that goes along with it, it's a bit hip to the jive, you know. Wow, it's got a wow there. Well, not hip to the, pretty cool, you know. So just bear with that as well. Now, many will go through the evaluation process at work, looking back at what type of job they have done over the last year. And we could do that concerning our church or your church. And in fact, we've been doing some of that of late as we consider the last year that we've just completed. But what I really want to do today is look forward into next year and attempt to answer the question, what's next, in regard to the church? And I think we can answer that question by listing some directions that we need to be heading with a key word for each one of them as we list, as listed in your outline. And I hope you've all got your outline today. Okay, if you haven't got a pen or pencil, cheat off the next person. Okay, not one of these is negotiable. All right, do you feel like you're in class? Good. Not one of these is negotiable if we're going to continue down the path that God is leading us. Now, I think you'll see what I mean as we go down the list. Okay? So the first direction is this. We look upward. We look upward. While it has always been the utmost importance to this church, it must be even more so in the days ahead. We must continually focus on what God wants for each and every one of us as individuals, but also what he wants for us as the church. If you're a member of this church, you are responsible for continually looking to God for his direction, his blessing, and his fulfillment of his purpose. A lot of you might be thinking, well, hang on, Pastor Kerry, that's your job. No, wrong. That's our job to be doing that. Okay, there can never be a time when we cease seeking the Lord in this way. The moment that we do, we cut God out of the process and we cannot be blessed by him. So the key word here is guys, you've got to help me out here when I'm having a drink of water. Okay, the key word here is Okay, thank you. So we have to make sure that each and one of us is equipped to pray, willing to pray, and actually praying on behalf of the church and each other every day. That's what we're to do. It's not a negotiable item. We cannot fulfill the calling God has and given to us unless we are in continuous communication with him. Now, I can't imagine an army being so successful in battle if they refuse to listen to their commanding officer's instructions. If the radio communication goes down, they are in big trouble. The church is no different. We are engaged in a spiritual battle and we have to listen for the Holy Spirit's instruction and guidance or we will find ourselves wandering aimlessly. And there are a lot of people in the church that are doing that. Why? Because they are not in prayer. They are not communicating with their Lord and Saviour. We must get back to prayer. God has given us the gift of prayer as means of communicating with him. Yong Yi Cho. Anyone knows who Yong Yi Cho is? He's the pastor of the Full Gospel Church in Seoul, Korea. And I had the privilege a couple of years ago actually having to be able to speak with him when he was at a conference. It is the world's largest church with over 1 million members. Can you imagine that? 1 million members. It's a pastor's nightmare. He says this, I have not followed a secret formula in the mighty church growth we're experiencing. There is no question in my mind that what has been done in Korea can also be duplicated in every part of the world. The key is prayer. Concerning the church in Colossae, Paul said this, we have continued praying for you ever since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you the complete understanding of what he wants to do in your lives. And we ask him to make you wise with spiritual wisdom. Now, this is a good example of how we are to pray, especially for our church. We pray of understanding, we pray for wisdom, and we pray for direction. Now, let me give you some specific ways that you begin praying for our church today and for your church. In your outline, it says, pray that we will continue to experience true worship. Did you know every morning, during the week in prayer time, people are praying for the worship team here? Because worship, true worship, these people aren't here worshiping to you. They're not singing to you. They are singing to the Almighty God. They're having this happening, not that. And we look at the people in true worship and we go, that's what I want. And then we start to true worship. You don't look at the person in front of you and go, oh, gee, they've got their hands in the air and they're a bit weird. Or their hands in their pocket, they're not weird. No, it's not nothing about that. It is true worship in the sense of that we look upward, not outward. Pray that we will know and accept and obey the word of God. Now that's scary. It's scary out there, isn't it? It's also scary in here. that we will obey. Pray that we will obey the word of God. Pray for unity in the church. How many of you today would look across the room and go, I'm not speaking to that person? There's a new saying and that's going around with the youth at the moment. It's like, oh, they're a butt. That's what they're saying. 2016. I'll let you know, in our family, we've said 2016, number one thing that we're going to do as a family is kind words. If anyone says not a kind word to their siblings or anyone else, they get an hour in their bed. I've spent many hours on my bed over the Christmas break. Enjoyed every hour of it too. We've got to pray for the great harvest of unchurched people. We've got to pray for the heart of unchurched people. Remember, prayer is like a prayer, it's a missile that can go into the heart of anyone. They can't stop it. We've got to pray for joy in the hearts of the lives of all of us. Remember last Sunday, I'll pull it out. I shared with you God's promises. When you read the Bible for just 10, 15 minutes a day, God promises these things. He promises you joy. He promises you strength. He promises you peace. Promises you peace, stability, success, and answered prayer. To me, that is winning the lotto right there. And all you have to do is read God's word every day. That's his promise. Wow. These are just a few practical and life-changing ways to begin looking upward. Number two, we move forward. You know, I've always enjoyed watching track and field at the Olympics. I'll share with you that. I used to be a runner. I did. I was a long distance runner. When I was a young boy, I could do long. I couldn't do short distance because I didn't. I don't think I had the legs. Would have been like a Fred Flintstone along the way. Thank you. I especially like to watch the 100-meter sprint. I think it would be great to be the first one breaking through that line, through that ribbon, you know, with their chest out, getting through. Wouldn't that be an awesome experience? I've dreamt of that all my life. But I've devised a plan that I'm almost certain that will lead me to victory. There has to be a slight rule change in the race, and I'm happy to race anyone here in the 100-meter sprint. But everyone but me will have to run the race backward. You know, we laugh at that, but there are a lot of churches that try and do this. All of their decisions for the future are based on the past. And if they're even making any decisions for the future at all, they say that they want to lead more people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is fantastic, and they want to experience growth, which is awesome. And they want to minister to the down and out, which is right, but they can't seem to get anything accomplished. The reason for this is that they're trying to minister in 2016 with methodologies that seem to work in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or even 60s or the 1800s. Rather than moving forward, they keep trying to relive the old glory days of the past. And they find that they're not getting anywhere at all. Now, while we can always learn from our past, which is good, we need to focus on what will move us into the future, because that is where that we are headed. You and I are headed into the future, whether you like it or not. We cannot stop the world from turning.
It is either going to move into the future with the church on board, or it's going to move down into the future without us. If we are true to the calling God has given us, we're going to be going along for the ride. And we're going to be in this community just as much as everyone else. And we're going to be a main player in this community. And we are going to see lives changed. We are going to see salvations. We are going to see healings. We're going to see broken lives being transformed. But we must keep up as a church. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up into heaven. The key word there is progress. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. I've never bought into the sit on the fence mentality. You're either going one way or the other. There is no middle ground. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be hot. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Who's hot here? Yeah. Well, the young men put their hand up. If God is really who claims he is, and he is, and if the church is really God's movement to change the world, then that means we, as a church of Jesus Christ, have the power and have the purpose to accomplish what God wants to get done. You see, our purpose is, and Hillside's purpose is, and I hope your church is, to turn unchurched people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, equipping them to reach their full potential in him. That is God's heart, and that is my heart for this church and this community. Our church vision statement, what we want to become, is what? Committed to transformation in Jesus' name. That's why you've had that sign up there for at least 2 years. We may be getting another sign put up there in about 4 or 5 weeks, but guess what it's going to say? It's going to say that we are committed to transformation in Jesus' name. Because that's what this church is all about. The church mission statement, what we plan to accomplish. In love, we bring hope to the world through faith in Jesus' name. I believe the church, and I've been saying this to a lot of church leaders around the city, we need Jesus back in the church. And we need Jesus back in the lives of the people in the church. If we're going to have an impact in this globe and in our community, we have to put his name first and above and before anything that we do. Now, those who are visiting or you're new to the church, we've got this little black book. I don't know why we call it a little black book, but it's a little black book called Hillside, and that has got everything about this church in here. It's got about all our love, faith, hope, and it goes into it a lot more. So if you want to get one of these out in the entrance, there is a few of those out there, so grab one. These two statements define for us an overall direction for our church into the future. And they're our guide to become the church God wants us to become. Number three, we change inward. On New Year's Day, this is for the kids. Kids, are you watching the screen? I'll put something here for you kids, all right? Do you like street parades? Well, in the USA, on New Year's Day, they have the biggest street parade in the world. And it's called the Rose Parade. Anyone heard of the Rose Parade? Yeah. Okay. So we're just going to go through some of the photos there. They've got big, big floats and big fish. That's for some of the fishermen out there. I know the guys are involved in fishing. Next one, big trains. Boys like the trains. They're big floats, aren't they? Next one, there's a lot of many other floats. It's a huge parade. In actual fact, this year was the 127th parade. They've been doing it for 127 years. There's 41 floats, 20 bands, brass bands, 18 equestrian units with approximately 400 horses. I love this last picture here. You've got a flag with all the nations. And who's leading the way? Isn't that a great picture? Well, one year, about 7 years ago, a float in this parade suddenly spluttered and quit and stopped. It was out of petrol. The whole parade stopped and was held up until someone could return with a can of petrol. The amusing thing was that this float represented one of the global leading oil companies. With all of its vast oil resources, its truck was out of petrol. Isn't that amazing? Often we as Christians are attempting to accomplish all the things I've just mentioned. We neglect our own personal spiritual maintenance and find ourselves running out of energy, even though that we have the resources in heaven, at heaven at our disposal. Key word is praise. As we praise God, whether through our prayers or singing to Him, we find a renewal strength in our statement and our purpose as His followers. Praise is simply acknowledging God for who He is and what He has done. For example, Psalm 21:13 says, "We praise You, Lord, for the glorious power. With music and singing, we celebrate Your mighty acts." It's an outpouring of praise that we proclaim our wonder for God. And when we pray and when we sing, the words that are directed to are not directed at each other, as I said before, but directed to God Himself. It's this. And in the act of praise, we find that we're changing inside. Every time I stand down there and I get into worship, I feel something inside and things just changing and joy just hits me. If I'm driving along and I put a praise and worship song, joy just comes from inside out. If you don't know what I'm talking about, try and do that. Just put a praise and worship song while you're driving and just get into who God is. And give Him the glory for everything that you see. An internal transformation takes place as we recognize God for who He is. We're also declaring our dependence upon God as our Lord and Savior. And we're calling upon His power and strength to equip us for the work that He's called us to accomplish. In our praise of God, we're admitting that we are but mere humans. And we do not have the ability to save the world. We don't. That we do not have the strength to keep on going. We don't. And we do not have the staying power to keep on going. We're saying to God that while we do not have these abilities, we know that He does. And we are asking Him to fill us and sustain us through that struggle. God has the ability to change us and use us for His ultimate glory, which is really exciting. Isaiah 40, 20, 28, 31, listen to this. He says, "Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all of earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. Who here is tired and worn out? What a year 2015 was. And I know for some of you here, 2015 was a year that you just want to wipe off. But listen, he offers strength to the weak. And listen to this, youth. Even youths will become exhausted and young men will give up. Don't try and do it on your own. Be careful of the world that's out there. As young Christian men, you've got to understand that you're not of this world. Because as soon as you put your foot in the world, man, they'll tear you apart. And that's a lot of problem with today's young men. They love the world. And they love God, and they love the world, and they love God, and they love the world, and they love God, they love the world, love the world. And that's why you see young men leaving the church. And that's why after 5 years, you'll see men coming back, young men coming back to the church going, I tried what was there, I've wasted 5 years of my life. And sadly, some are into drugs, some have got children out of wedlock. Young men, please, it's my heart for you guys, is to get to know God. Get to have a deep relationship with Him. Even youths will become exhausted and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. You know, I walked out into the shed the other day and I saw my young boys, all three of them. They're out there in the doing the weights and on the stepping machine and the things that I should be doing. But you know, they were all doing that. And I just stood back watching them. They're going, Dad, look at that, look at these guns, you know. Wow. Show us that. Show us your guns. You showed us shit last night. Oh. Son, I want to tell you, you won't go strong through weights. You'll go strong through keeping your trust in the Lord. But those who wait on the Lord will find their strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. Wow! They will run and not grow weary. Thank you, Lord. They will walk and not faint. Giddy up. God is asking us to place our dependence upon Him to see us through. It does not all depend on me. It depends on me allowing God to work through me. It all begins with the acknowledgement of who God really is. And this year, for this church, and hopefully for many churches, pastors will be re-equipping their congregation to fully understand who you are in Christ. A warning to all you control freaks, stop it. Stop it. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Let the Holy Spirit strengthen you. You can't do it on your own. You will burn out. And that's not a curse or anything I'm saying, but you will burn out if you don't put your trust in God. Number four, we reach outward. Now, while we're clearly called to equip and minister to and worship with other Christ followers, our calling as a church is to reach those who are not yet in a church or in the church. William Temple quotes this: "The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members." It's a great saying, isn't it? If we get that into our head and totally understand what he was saying, we will be more effective for God in preaching the gospel and getting the gospel out there in the community. The Times Reporter reported in September 1985 a celebration in New Orleans' local swimming pool. They had about 86 local swimming pools that year operating in the whole state, and not one person drowned. In honor of the occasion, 200 people gathered, including 100 certified lifeguards. As the party was breaking up and the four lifeguards on duty began to clear the pool, they found a fully dressed body in the deep end. They tried to revive Jerome Moody, who was 31 years of age, but it was too late. He had drowned, surrounded by lifeguards celebrating their successful season. I wonder how many visitors and strangers are among us drowning in loneliness, in hurt and doubt, while we, who could help them, don't even realise it. That's right, the person right next to you could be going through that right now. We Christians have a reason to celebrate. We do. But our purpose is to rescue the perishing. And often they are right next to us. 1 Corinthians 9, 22-23 says, "I try to find common ground with everyone so that I might bring them to Christ. I do all this to spread the good news, and in doing so, I enjoy its blessings." See, Paul understood that his main purpose and the main purpose of the church was not to feed those with full stomachs, but to offer nourishment to the starving. We enjoy the blessing of the gospel by what? By sharing the gospel. We are the church at its best when we are being the church to the unchurched. My job is not to turn away those who do not yet know Christ, but to show them the love of the Christ that has saved me. And that is what each and every one of us is to do, is to show our people in our office place, in our school place, in the universities, in our community, in our neighbours. We're to show them the love that Christ had for me and us. You know, if each and every one of us did that, our streets would be saved. Our communities will be saved. Key word is potential. I wonder if any of us really have any idea of how greatly God can use us. Do we have any clue as to what God wants us to do through us to reach the world? As we talk about growth and outreach and leading people to the Lord, do you start thinking about how it will affect you or how it will affect them? Sometimes you'll hear someone says, "Oh, if the church grows too big, I won't know anyone anymore." Well, whoever said that we're supposed to know everyone in the church anyway? Where is that one found in the Bible? It doesn't. We are more concerned with our comfort. Are we more concerned with our comfort level or people's eternal destiny? If our hearts are right, and we are more committed to the Lord's commission than our own personal agenda, the potential is absolutely limitless. Absolutely limitless. I'm talking to people in this church, I believe that we do have the kind of hearts that God can use to do great things for his kingdom. Great things. Now, sorry to mention you again, the Sambal clan, but you know, yesterday I was so encouraged that not only our church, I can look at many people in our church, but God's using the same brothers and sisters in Christmas Island, in other places, that have a passion, that have a heart for people, for the lost. And hearing my brother in Christ, Tim, yesterday talking about his love for his community up there. His love for the people that go to the church of God of hell, church. That doesn't frighten him. Far out. He's got the light behind him. He's got the light in him. Jesus explained this. Jesus once gave a wake-up call to his disciples that I think bears repeating. Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you. Vast fields are ripening all around us and are ready now for the harvest." You see, if we cannot see the world around us that is in need of a Savior, then our eyes are pointed in the wrong direction. We have a tremendous luxury of living in the most of the great mission field right now in 2016. We have been commissioned by Jesus Christ. If you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you have been commissioned by Jesus Christ to go into that mission field with the greatest message that has ever been given. And we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work that he has called us to do. The greatest days, people of our church, are still ahead of us. The greatest days. Are you listening to me? The greatest days of our church are still ahead of us. The fields are ripe. The potential is great. And we will continue to reach those in need. Amen. My brother-in-law, Ian here, he served over 8 years in Laos on the Mekong River in 40-degree, muggy, yucky, horrible heat, and I've experienced it. Why? Because he has a passion for people. He's turned nearly a whole community around through his farm, organic farm. The Lord has actually anointed him a new name. Moringa Man or Organic Man. I won't tell you the name I've got for him, but he's my brother-in-law. He's a good man. And you know what? We will continue to reach out to those in need. This church will always have that. That's why we've got the primary school. That's why we've got the high school. That's why we've got the Woolridge Country Estate here. That's why we've got Bible College here to equip. That's why we've got the restaurant here to feed people, to get them in here. And we will continue to reach out to those in need. Do I get an amen? Church, the best is yet to come. I love that slogan. Pastor Craig uses it all the time. It's so encouraging to me. Every time we're talking about stuff, he sends me an encouraging email, says, "Yeah, you're doing a great job. The best is yet to come." But you know what? I can trust what he's saying because I know he's a doer of the word. And if you really want to know that and understand that the best is yet to come, you've got to be the doer of the word. you've got to put these little legs, or you might have big long legs, you've got to put any sort of legs to what you learn and read in the Word of God. The best is yet to come. Can I have the music team up, please? Sorry, I've gone a bit long, haven't I? But I really think you need... I believe God really wanted me to share this with you today, because I think the start of 2016, we need to be charged. We need to have an expectation in our hearts of who we are, a revelation too of who we are in Christ and what our job to do is here in the community. Also in this book here, it's got everything that we do here on this campus. If you want to get involved, get involved. If you want to be part of the greatest, greatest organization in the world that has offices in every town and every city across this globe, get involved. Prayer, progress, praise, and potential. These four words are the answer to the question, what's next? These are the key to seeing God's will. They are the keys to see what God's will. And I praise God today because I see many of us already living by these words and are growing closer day by day to God's directive. I want to thank each and every one of you for hearing the word this morning, for seeing the word this morning. Now my prayer for you is that you'll act upon the word that God has called you to do. You know, you can do it. We can do it. We can do it together. Each of us in partnership with God, we can accomplish greater and mightier things. Now, I look out into this congregation here and I see an amazing group of people. I mean, I say it time and time again, what God has done in this place with the village, with the beautiful buildings and stuff like that is totally amazing. Why? Because people have been faithful and been getting into God and understanding what God has for them in their life, and they have been obedient. The pastors gone before me have been obedient. Yeah, I've got big shoes to fill, but one thing I've learned from all of the fathers that have come before me in this church is to be obedient, to get into the Word, you get into prayer, and to be obedient to Him. And your life will be full of joy, peace. It'll be full of joy, strength, peace, stability, success, and answered prayer. Who does not want that? We have real exciting times ahead of us, church. And if you're visiting here today, take this message back to your church. Because I'm talking about the church. There is exciting times ahead of us. Not doom and gloom. You know, I'm going to show a video while we're having a cup of tea in a minute. And there's a lot of doom and gloom events happen. There's also a lot of good celebration events that happen. I remember the other week when I preached the other day, not for all circumstances we're to praise and give thanks to the Lord. In all circumstances we're to give praise and thanks to the Lord. And as I watched this video the other night, I suddenly realised that I said, wow, that happened way back then. That happened this year. And look at the turnaround of things that have happened. This world is changing so dramatically every day. We're living in a real fast world and we've got to keep up with it. How? by reading God's word that's been around for centuries, thousands of years. This is the most up-to-date bit of can't find the word for it. You want a life manual? Up-to-date life manual? The most up-to-date 2016 life manual? Get the Bible. Let's sing. We're going to sing. Any of the songs that we sang this morning were good. Do I want a Holy Spirit song for an altar call? Yeah, why not? If people want to draw a line in the ground this morning, if you want to draw a line in the ground and say, you know, 2015 was a real tough year because of many things. There might have been strongholds that had you down. There might have been temptations. There might have just been sickness. There might have been anything. I'm going to do an altar call. I want to pray for you this morning and ask if you've got friends that come out for prayer, you come out and pray for them. All right? I want you to draw a line in the sand with your foot and say, 2015, goodbye. 2016, hello. The best is yet to come. Believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.